Right. Well, yeah, we're having a double bill of talks, and then the discussion afterwards, if that's okay. So, yeah, the way we'll do it is any second now, Tim will open on his talk. What's wrong with authority under capitalism? Is there anything right with it? And hopefully we can coordinate this okay. But I'll be posting some text which Tim has provided in the Useful Links text channel. So, yeah, Tim, if you give me the nod whenever you want the next bit posted, I'll try and get it posted as soon as possible. And straight after Tim's talk, which should last maybe about half an hour, Carla will be speaking on obey or not to obey. That is the question. For maybe about a quarter of an hour or so. And then after that, we'll have the questions and discussion covering sort of, you know, both talks and, you know, the authority theme in general. So, keep your eye on the Useful Links text channel. And, of course, afterwards with the questions and discussion after Carla's talk, the usual thing with the queue in the speaking queue text channel as well. So, Tim, are you all set to start?
Yeah, I'm ready, Mike. Thanks.
So, thank you very much.
Can everyone hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me all right?
Yep. Go ahead. Thanks, Tim. So, and we'll look forward to hearing your talk on what's wrong with authority under capitalism. Is there anything right with it? Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. So, Mike, just with the text, just chuck the text chunks divided by those dotted lines as soon as I get to them, you know, so that they're just those chunks of text. So they're not the whole talk. They're just either quotes or headings that I thought might be useful to help people follow it, and then with a Q&A afterwards. So just as I get to them, Mike, just pop them in there. That'll be fine. Each chunk. Yeah, so good evening, everyone. Thanks for attending. As I say, it's a bank holiday and it's the first warm day of summer. So I think you know, a lot of people will be out and about, won't they? So as Mike says, I'm going to kick off. Carla's going to follow, and then there'll be a Q&A after both of us. The structure that I'm going to adopt basically is to talk briefly about my personal attitude to authority, distinctions between authority, power and leadership. Definitions are problematic, really. But I'll try and make, you know, some of the sort of distinctions there. And then different forms of authority, and then say we'll have a Q&A. So, thanks for Mike for popping those bits of text in as we go. Also, thanks to Mike for hooking out a lot of Socialist Standard articles on this topic from the archive, which I've used as background reading. It's been very useful. Okay, and my personal attitude to authority. I don't have many memories before the first day of starting school, but I have a vivid memory of that because I remember sitting in the classroom with the teacher there giving us various pep talks, and I realised that I was going to have a problem with school and a problem with, you know, probably, not sure I realised afterwards at that time, but problem with all kinds of authority. So, and that's been an enduring feature of my life. So I had great problems at school. I was always getting suspended, expelled. At work, I had to change jobs a lot, change careers a lot, because if I encountered anyone that tried to have any authority over me, any managers and line managers and so on, then I would leave. Luckily, I had some good line managers that left me alone for some periods of time, and that that helped. And I've also had problems with kind of just absurdly simple things in relationships, marriage and family, down to almost a pathological condition of hatred to any sort of authority or telling, being told to. And they're like simple things like, you know, put the rubbish out. And I think, who the hell are you doing? You know, who the hell are you to tell me to put the rubbish out, you know, to my wife and things like that? So, yeah, I'm at the extreme end of the antipathy towards authority. And so the last 18 months especially has been a nightmare for me. Not because, you know, of COVID or worrying about catching COVID, but every time I step out the door, I know I'm going to have to encounter someone, everyone, that's going to be telling me what to do. You know, stand there. Have you got the mask on? Have you got it over your nose? Don't come in this door. Don't go out that door. And so on and so on. And so, you know, that's been, as I say, a nightmare in the last 18 months. So I have a very, very almost pathological attitude towards authority. I've taken four definitions of famous writers just to reinforce my view of authority and the related issues. So I started with Bakunin, who says, even in the most democratic countries, people who obey not laws which they make themselves, but laws which are made in their name. And to obey these laws means nothing else to them than to submit to the arbitrary will of some guarding and governing minority. All amounts to the same thing, to be freely slaves. The state must be replaced by a free society built on the basis of total autonomy, starting with a small commune, etc. So there he's talking about different forms of society to the current one we have. Of course, authority is not simply synonymous with law, but a very great deal of authority is derived from law in nation states, and I'll come on to that a bit later. Proudhon said, the state is the greatest criminal of our time. It acts not for the defence of its most important unit, that is the individual, but on the contrary, to limit him, to oppress him, and to attack him. So, you know, completely concur with that view. Tolstoy said, laws are rules made by people who govern by means of organised violence for non-compliance, with which the non-compliers subject to loss of liberty or even to be murdered. And Kropotkin said, order in society has been constructed through mutual aid, cooperation, spontaneity and peace. A truly valid, meaningful social order is one which is voluntarily constructed by each person freely entering into relationships with others, constantly renewing or dissolving agreements based on each person's own desire. So those echo my views of the role of authority in society. So I see society, and have always seen society from the day I started school, as authoritarian. That is, it only hangs together with authority. If there was no authority in this system, then the capitalist society would not function. So I see everything's authoritarian. So that's my view. So it's very easy for me to answer the title of the talk. So what's wrong with authority under capitalism? Well, everything. And is there anything right with it? Well, no, nothing. So I despise authority. So that's my personal view. So authority, I think, has a relationship with power and leadership. It's just worth touching on those things. So I looked at Wikipedia for the definition of authority, and it says, in the fields of sociology and political science, which is basically what we're examining, the notion here, authority is the legitimate power that a person or group of people consensually possess and practice over other people. In a civil state, authority is made formal by way of a judicial branch and an executive branch of government. Well, the second part of that definition is just an actual statement. The first part of the definition I just fundamentally disagree with. I see nothing consensual in the authority that's exercised in the society, and certainly there's nothing consensual that's exercised over me. So that's a sort of partial definition of authority. If I looked in the Cambridge Online Dictionary and phrased it, but basically they're saying the moral authority is the moral or legal right or ability to control a group of people. So again, it's a legitimacy not emanating here necessarily just from law or from the state, but it's vesting that legitimacy in morality, as well as the legal right. And then it says the ability to influence other people. Sorry, authority is the ability to influence other people and make them respect you, perhaps because of a superior skill or knowledge, or being expert in a particular field of study or activity. Now, I think many people would see that as part of the definition of authority. I don't see it as authority, because I think authority is a purposefully built structure. So I think if we use the word authority in that context, where we have, you know, respect for people that have got bodies of knowledge or experts or fields of study or activity, then, you know, I think influence, it starts with influence and power and stops there. But we may say they are an authority, or they are an authority over, or he or she is an authority. But I don't think that is the proper meaning authority for me. I think authority, as I say, is a structured, deliberately engineered, social, structured concept with particular purpose. But I'd concede that, you know, I don't have any problem with people that have, you know, genuine expertise or, you know, particular skills. You know, I would defer to them for that, but I wouldn't see it as authority as such. So carrying on with the Cambridge Online Dictionary definition, it says the fact of being allowed by law or done according to the rules of an organisation or activity, being fair and honest. So it's widening the notion of authority further. So law is fine. Authority derives from law, and that's clear in the current list arrangement. And I think as well, because organisations operate within that capitalist system, they can operate an authority structure, sometimes underpinned by law, or very often underpinned by law in organisations. Being fair and honest widens it even. Going too far to be useful really as digital authority. So authority in a capitalist state, context of a capitalist state, authority is substantially derived through law, in theory at least. So I've said in theory at least because the law and the judicial system is not is not there to deliver justice. And so you get a kind of veneer of, it's not a veneer of authority. It's a construct of authority, really. You know, they set themselves up as an authority in delivering the law and determining what is law, what is right and wrong in terms of the law. But I think more and more capitalist states, because you know they're against the ropes, really, are having to resort to almost new forms of law, or just brute force. So new forms of law are where traditionally law would be, an offence, for example, would have two elements. It would have, in Latin, the mens rea, which is the mental intent, and the actus reus, the act of doing it. And that was the case for hundreds of years. You had to have both elements for an offence. Modern law and criminal law has dispensed with, in lots of cases, the actus reus, the act of the offence. So you can now have a complete criminal offence and be convicted and go to jail for simply saying it, thinking it, preparing for it, posting it on social media, and so on. So I think what's happening is the law is being stretched to almost breaking point, really, in terms of traditional law, and also going beyond it. There's a kind of lawlessness by the state now to maintain control. So, I think that's an interesting development recently. Probably only the last 20 years. So, in the context of capitalism, authority is substantially derived through law. And therefore, it bestows upon it legitimacy. It's sort of axiomatic. If it's the law, then it's legitimate. And again, that's questionable. And that's in the context of general society and all the other entities, the institutions, and so on that occupy society. Just put one short piece here on the law and the Socialist Party. I'm not going to examine that here. But it's interesting that this is where we stand still, the 1991 resolution. The conference recognises that rules and regulations and democratic procedures for making and changing them and for deciding if they have been infringed will exist in socialist society. Whereas a ruling class depends on the maintenance of law to ensure control of class society, a class society obtains social cohesion through its socialization process without resorting to a coercive machinery. However, in view of the fact that in socialist theory, the word law means a social rule made and enforced by the state, and in view of the fact that the coercive machinery, that is the state, will be abolished in socialist society, this conference decides that it is inappropriate about laws, law courts, a police force, and prisons existing in socialist society. So given that authority within any society or state, within a capitalist state, is substantially derived from law, then implicitly by this resolution, it means that the Socialist Party is against almost all authority. Other people might have other ideas when we get to the end of the talks. But that seems to me its position. And that's one of the attractions for me of being in the Socialist Party. I think that's problematic in different ways, and various members have kicked that around over the years. The idea of law, rules, whether that's semantic difference, whether there's a real difference between those things. Books and articles have been written on it, particularly Peter Lawrence, Ron Cook, Gary Slapper, and others. Okay, power. Well, I think power is a subset of authority. That's the wrong way around. Apologies. Authority is a subset of power. So authority is one kind of power, but there are many other kinds of power. So authority is one way of wielding power, and a very important one. But other forms of power include personal, charismatic, brute force, violence, none of which could be described as in authority. In capitalism, power usually means some kind of oppression in the class structure. But again, in capitalism, we have all those types of power. So it's not just, it's not synonymous with authority. Authority is a subset of power. And there are new forms of power, being developed all the time as well, or new ways of wielding power. So Marx, in the early part of the 20th century, we had PR, Bernays, Political Relations, Hidden Persuaders book was famous book, Vance Packard on that. So all those kinds of insidious ways of wielding power. So it's not just blatant, overt authority. And more recently, we've had political micro-targeting at all that. Business with Cambridge Analytica, with mining, Facebook users targeting them, get them voted ways for particularly Trump campaign in America and the Brexit campaign here. And of course, we've got other things that are partly deriving from authority and law, but not entirely. We've got power wielded through, just simple fear, the war on terror, the fear of the pandemic. We've got other means of wielding power through narcotics and pharmaceuticals, way in which we sedate people, school, care homes and so on with drugs. So there are different forms of power. Authority is one kind of leadership, I think, is a concept for which power is often exercised in a capitalist society and in other societies, and often derived by being a position of authority, although not always. Sometimes in capitalist societies, leaders just emerge, but very often they're in an organizational structure. Okay, so if we're trying to break down different forms of kind of capitalism, I think the first thing to say about them is that they're all socially constructed, so they can all be deconstructed by people's actions. Authority only exists, then capitalism exists as a construct because people concede to it, participate. So if people en masse refuse to comply with authority, then authority wouldn't exist. And we see that all the time with incredibly powerful figures around the world, and suddenly crumble because the mass of people don't accept authority. So starting from the top, so to speak, with different forms of authority, there's God and religion. You know, so the phrase is, there's no higher authority than God, I answer to God and God alone, and so on. Paul Bennett wrote an article in the May edition of The Standard about this, and that was quite an optimistic article, saying that religion and so on is on the decline. But I mean, you know, maybe on the decline, but there's still apparently 51% of people that believe in God. It's about 3.5 billion people. And even more, 84% believe that identify with a religious group. So it's still incredible for force. And that authority structure within those religions, and just in the concept of having a religion, creates that dominion through the ages. Yeah, it's still a powerful form of authority, religion. And then you've got the institutions at international level, things like the UN, the EU, ICC, International Criminal Court, ECJ, European Court of Justice. So these are all often sort of framed, conceived as legal entities themselves, or quasi-entities. And by virtue of that, and again, by virtue of the sort of the consent, or at least the lack of opposition, they derive authority. And they have, and most people would accept that, you know, one way or the other, those bodies have authority. And then at the state and national level, the authority vests in things like parliaments, presidents, prime ministers, national assembly, regional and local authority, quasi-government agencies, the military, prison system, the judicial system. You know, we're awash, really, with authority in terms of the individual position and institutions that have been created to try and keep this society, this capitalist society, in place, to stop it from disintegrating. And then below that, but related to it, you've got the authority of the workplace, which in many ways is even more authoritarian than our broader society. And there's not even a glimmer of democracy there. And now trade unions are so weak, there's not even any pluralism, there's not even any countervailing power force between the worker and the capitalist class within those organizations. And then the authority of education, again, fundamental part of the authority structure, where formalized systems of education, you know, pervade the whole world. And it's a powerful conditioning control mechanism for facilitating the acquiescence of its subjects and propagating sort of capitalist dogma, utility, the working. So modern day education, especially again in 25 years, has become more and more authoritarian, more and more partisan. Propagating just standard stop, get an education, get a job. And then you've got more subtle things, but nonetheless important, the authority of the family. So the nuclear family, not a creation. Nuclear families exploited cement control in various ways. And, though it's been weak in recent decades, it's still an important bulwark to maintaining the capitalist system. It reinforces all those sort of precepts of especially work, but in terms of pay, in terms of conformity to law, in conformity to rules, obeying authority. They act vicariously for the state. The authority of the family is So all these institutions claim their legitimacy through notion of authority. So they capitalism seeks to legitimize itself to this authority system. And so for many people, perhaps for most people, it becomes almost invisible. You know, that's the way life is. You know, it's perhaps why we have such a struggle to, you know, to gain momentum as a party, because there's so many institutions and so many sophisticated ways, especially with technology nowadays, the algorithms with control of the tech is with the censorship. And it's very, very difficult for people to see, you know, that any alternative, you know, that's just the way life is. These institutions they live under and you know, they're oppressed by some press. So it's a plethora of mechanisms to exert authority, capitalism. And as we know, capitalism is a very resilient system. And authority, the way in which authority is used in capitalism is active. It's always in constant process of change and development. Sometimes pretense of change, cosmetic change. But it's constantly looking at new ways in which to maintain control and to which give itself legitimacy, i.e. to give it the authority, so it can carry on with the oppression that is. So the extent and duration which achieve this is debate of time. I think capitalism is finished. It seems to drag itself to the floor, crawling up. I suppose optimistically, people would see cracks in the system, authority becoming great. You know, we can see that in all sorts of different ways, you know, skepticism of people, politics and politicians. People can be disgruntled in general with their lives, increasing rates of depression, anxiety, all of which are optimistic signs. People, you know, are realizing that they don't function properly in this society. And it damages them. And so, you know, that's optimistic. And in that respect, people are questioning and challenging, or you can see it like that. Pessimistically, you can think, well, the blind and docile response to such things, climate emergency, the risk of war, war on terror, COVID rules, and the increasing subjugation, pervasive and intrusive technology, and the subjugation of people to it. You know, the lack of resistance to the way. So, depending on your view of whether it's half glass, half empty, or half full, could be mildly optimistic, mildly pessimistic, drastic, both. So who knows what will happen in the next few days.